Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday School. I want to invite any children that aren't up here already to come up here because I have some pictures to show when we start talking, and I really, really want you to be able to see them. So we'll make another invitation as the room fills up more. But who has a song that they would like to sing? Okay. What do you want to sing?
Number one.
Number one. Number eight.
Shall we gather at his coming when the dead in Christ arise? Shall we hear the Savior call us to his home beyond the skies? Yeah.
Okay, what did you want?
47. Some pictures to show when we start speaking, and I really, really want you to be able to see the pictures that I have, okay? So if there's any children that want to sit up front, we still have a lot of seats. Okay, does anybody else have a song? Okay, Lauren. Number five.
Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my heart.
Let's ask the Lord for his help, and then we'll say some verses if anybody has one that they would like to say. Okay. Our loving God and our Father, we come before you this morning to ask for help in this Sunday school. We just ask, Lord, that each one of these children would have open ears and soft hearts to receive the message. We pray for even the older ones, for myself included, for a soft heart to hear and to listen, and to take what is said and put it to use in our life. Think of these children just beginning their life. And if you don't come, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be struggles. The verses that they've learned, I ask that they would come back to their memory at those times, that they would help them through, that each one of us would not lose sight of what is really life. So we leave ourselves in your hands now for this little while and pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Does anybody have a verse that they would like to say? You don't have to, but you can if you'd like to. Maybe I shouldn't have said you don't have to. You want to say a verse? Did you forget it? That's okay. Anybody else? Okay, Lauren, do you have a verse?
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
Thanks. Okay.
For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
Russell, do you want to say a verse? Okay.
Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage?
Joshua.
Joshua 1:9.
Okay.
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. 12:2.
Good job. Okay.
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
Good. Okay.
For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
Okay.
There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Luke 12:2.
Good. Okay, is there any other children that I don't see? And again, is there any more kids that want to come sit up front? We still have lots of seats, but that's okay if you don't want to. Okay. Does anybody remember a story about a rich man and a man named Lazarus? Does anybody remember that story? I don't want to talk exactly about that story, but there's one verse in that story that I do want to talk about for just a minute before we really get into the subject I'm going to talk about. The rich man says he fared sumptuously. You remember that? And he obviously did not care about anything that had to do with God. He lived his life here for himself. And there was a poor man named Lazarus, you remember, says he ate the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And Lazarus evidently had faith, because when the two of them died, they went to two different places. You remember that? And Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, and it says that the rich man was in torment. You remember that? Yeah. Now, there's a verse from that that I want to read. And if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. You don't have to turn to it. And even if you do have a Bible, you don't have to turn to it, because sometimes we get so distracted by turning that we forget to listen. And that's more important. So it's in Luke 16, and I'm going to read verse 26. And beside all this, this is Abraham speaking to the rich man when he asked that Lazarus could bring just a drop of water to cool his tongue. Remember that? There is a, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, this is speaking to two people who had died and who had already entered eternity. And it says there was a great gulf fixed. And so I started wondering, what is a great gulf? And I thought about the Gulf of Mexico. That's a great gulf, right? In the ocean. And if you stood on the coast of Florida, you could not swim across that gulf. But maybe there's another word that helps us to understand a great gulf. Have you ever heard of the word chasm? Has anybody ever heard of the word chasm? Yeah? What does it mean, Caitlin? That's okay. If it's hard to explain words. Sometimes we know what they mean, but explaining it's hard. Does anybody know what a chasm is? Have you ever heard of a rift? These are all hard words, but that's good to try to understand hard words. Gets our brains thinking. That's good. A chasm is defined as a deep fissure in the earth. In other words, it's a deep crack in the earth. And so apparently, when these two men were in eternity, having gone to two different places, there was a chasm that was so great that it was impassable. Now, we're going to switch gears. Well, first I'm going to show you a picture of a little chasm. Does that look like a crack in the earth to you? You see the crack in the earth? You see it? Yeah. Look at this. That's a crack in the earth, isn't it? That's just a little chasm. But you know what? This chasm is little here, but it gets so big in other places that it's 200 feet deep and wide enough that if we could pick up this whole meeting room and throw it in and look horizontally across the horizon, you wouldn't even see the meeting room down in the chasm. It turns big. It's the same chasm. Now, that chasm that I'm talking about is in Idaho, where I'm from, and we call it the Great Rift. And scientists say that it's one of two fascinating geological formations that there are in the earth. The other one is in Africa someplace. And it's caused by volcanic activity at some very long, distant age ago when gases and magma were active near the surface of the earth, and it exploded and made that crack. And the explosion was so great that it blasted huge boulders out, and it left a big crack in the earth. Big chasm in the earth. Now I want to show you another picture. This probably seems unrelated, but we're going to try to connect everything at some point. What do you see? Somebody tell me what you see. What did you see in that picture? Lambs, you are right. In the western United States, there is an industry that is very old, one of the oldest industries from the frontier days of the opening up of the West, and it is sheep herding. The sheep industry for meat, for wool. And these are not sheep that are raised on farms, on maybe 160-acre fields or something that are fenced. These are sheep that are run on big open ranges and by the thousands. And on these sheep operations, they separate the sheep into about a group of 1,000, and they call it a band, 1,000 ewes, 1,000 mothers. And each mother, after they've lambed, has at least one or two lambs with her. So it's one band of sheep is a lot of sheep. And in that band of sheep, there's a shepherd, just one. One man takes care of 1,000 ewes and their babies. The shepherd has, to help him, white dogs. They're called. They're Great Pyrenees dogs. Have any of you ever seen or heard of a Great Pyrenees? Yeah, are they big dogs or little dogs? Big dogs or little dogs? They're big dogs. They're big dogs. Rather ferocious. And their job is to protect the sheep and the lambs from coyotes and wolves and bears and mountain lions and even people that would rob them. And they do. There's other dogs that help the shepherd too, and they are typically border collies. And the border collies do not protect the sheep, they help move the sheep. Okay? And so in this picture that I showed you, you can see the sheep are ranging, and in the distance is a horse, because that's the shepherd's mode of transportation, because he covers many miles every day. And then there's a little structure that's on wheels. And we call it, in Idaho, we call it a sheep camp. And I think in Colorado, probably on the west side of the Rocky Mountains more typically, you're going to see the same thing if you were to go out onto the open range. And that is where the shepherd lives, is in this little sheep camp. It's a very lonely life. Normally, the shepherds come from Peru. I have seen the odd shepherd from Mexico, and I even knew of a shepherd from Chile. But normally, they come from Peru. And most of these shepherds have grown up around animals, around sheep, goats, maybe other things like alpaca and llama. Normally, they have grown up at high elevations, and they are poor, and they need a job, and so they get a work visa to come to the United States and herd sheep. Because of their background with animals, these shepherds know how to speak a language that most of the rest of us don't know how to speak. And you know what? It's not a language that comes out of their mouth. It's more of a language that comes out of their body movements, their body language. And when I have spoken to these shepherds, which I don't know their language, but I have tried to converse with them with a lot of pointing and smiling, I find that they are very timid and very soft and very quiet. Not very much like us Americans. When we go to meet somebody, we say, "Hello, how are you?" We put our hand out and we grab it hard. And when you talk to a shepherd, they look down, and when they put their hand out, it's very soft. And I've been interested in that, because I don't think I'd be a very good sheep herder, but these guys know how to do it. They know how to speak the language of the sheep. I want to tell you about a certain shepherd named Olimpio. Olimpio is from Peru. He has been coming to the United States, I think, for 25 years. This is Olimpio, this man here. And this is his house. This is where he lives for probably at least 10 months of the year, Olympio lives in this house. And he moves. He's always on the move. Olympio works for a man named Henry. Henry owns a lot of sheep. And Henry sponsors Olympio to come back year after year to help him herd sheep because Olympio is a good shepherd. Did you see Olympio? That's him. It's this guy right here. Did you see him? Yeah, that's his house. Yes. Sorry. I was trying to tune you all out because you're making me nervous. Okay. I want to read a verse right now. It's a verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 23, and I'm going to read verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Now, in trying to understand this verse, I was reading it in another translation, and I noticed that it said, neither shall any be missing. Now, let's be careful, because this verse was not actually written to us. It was written to other people, and it's for another time. But the reason I'm reading it is because Paul says in the New Testament that I may know him. And so we want to know God. We need to want to know God. And I think this verse gives us a little window into the heart of God that he doesn't want any to be missing. In other words, we heard the gospel last night. And we have the gospel again this morning. And there's a decision to be made. Will I accept the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Or will I just hear it and walk out and go on and go to the games outside, which are good, and I'm glad there's games outside. But I don't want you to walk out of here having not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because it's a gift that's available right now. And the first song we said, almost persuaded now to believe. And that song was written about a man who said, I'm almost persuaded, but he put it off, and I don't think that we ever read in any place that that man changed his mind. The man who spoke to us in the gospel last night used a term, he said, gospel hardened. And that's what we don't want. Now, I want to tell you about Olympio. Olympio had his sheep that, well, okay, let me put it this way. Olympio had Henry's sheep far out on the desert in Idaho, near the Great Rift, near that big crack in the ground. And Olympio, every day before daylight, gets up because the sheep are wanting to leave before the sun comes up. The sheep want to leave and eat. And every day he takes them to fresh grass, to fresh pasture. One day he goes this way from his camp, and the next day this way, and this way, and this way. And by the time he's made a full circle, Henry comes and moves his camp, and he does it again. Fresh grass, fresh feed. And Olympio took his sheep out, and some lambs got too close to that chasm, and they fell in. They fell down in the chasm. Now, that crack in the ground is 68 miles long, and it's varying. I told you that there's some places you can step across, at other places we could drop this meeting room in it. Some places it's 200 feet deep, some places it's not as deep. Well, these lambs fell in to the crack in the ground in a spot where it didn't kill them, but they couldn't get out. And they were deep enough in the crack that Olympio could not climb down and get them and get himself back out. And so Olympio has a cell phone because he's out by himself, and if something were to happen to him, it's good if he can call for help. And he even has some solar panels on that little camp that he stays in so he can charge his cell phone. And he was about 50 miles from where Henry lives, his boss, the owner of the sheep. He was about 50 miles. Now, at that time, this was two springs ago, at that time, the market for lambs had crashed. In other words, it was costing Henry more money to raise a lamb than what he could sell it for. So the lambs were worthless. They had no value to Henry. And if Henry had to get in his pickup and drive 50 miles on two-track trail, very rough, take him hours, it would really be a waste of his time. But you know what? I respect these guys, because they care about the life of an animal. And that's a wonderful thing. And so Henry got in his pickup, and he went out to help Olympio get five lambs that had fallen down in the crack. When he got there, looked, yes, one man's going to have to go down, and one man's going to have to stay up. Henry had a rope. We call it a rope. We might call it a lariat. It has a loop on the end, so you can catch something with it, right? A slip knot. You can catch it and tighten it. And so Henry sent his shepherd down into the crack. When Olympio started to climb down into the crack, there was a warning given. I'm gonna play a little video on my phone that I hope you can hear, so that you can hear the warning that was given. Can you play it on this one? A foot away? Okay. Let's do it again. Were you able to hear? What is it?
A rattlesnake.
You want to know what? We have rattlesnakes in Idaho, and there's rattlesnakes in Colorado and a lot of other places, but rattlesnakes like to den up in the winter in cracks in the ground, because they stay warm deep in the earth's crust, where the cold of winter doesn't get to them, because they're reptiles and they're cold-blooded, right? And at that time in the spring, the rattlesnakes were coming out of their den, and so there's many of them. And as Olympio started climbing down, the rattlesnakes started warning him, don't come too close. They're venomous. They'll kill you. Does anybody else remember a snake in the Bible? Do you remember, Lauren? What do you remember about a snake in the Bible? Yes. Yeah. And the devil, Satan, talked to Eve, and he had taken the form of a snake, or had inhabited a snake. And so we think of the curse of sin, because Eve listened to the snake, she listened to Satan, and she allowed him to persuade her to question the goodness of God. And she sinned, and so because of that sin, we're all sinners. We're all born into sin. And so the curse of sin is on us. And you know, I thought of Olympio going down into that, the shepherd, going down into the crack in the ground that had snakes in it. You know, it made me think of the Lord Jesus. His Father sent him down, didn't he? Yeah. And was he exempt from the curse of sin? No, he wasn't. We think about him on the cross. and he had thorns, a crown of thorns on his head. And they had beaten the crown of thorns down into his head until the blood ran down his face. And thorns are because of the curse of sin. There wouldn't be thorns if there hadn't been sin. The Lord Jesus took that on himself. He dealt with our consequence. Yeah. Well, Olympio went down anyway, and he figured out how to get down without getting bit. And he went to every one of the five lambs and put the lariat around the lamb, and Henry lifted it up and returned it to its mother. And there was none missing when they were finished. You know, I thought about the fact that those lambs were worthless, that they were of no value, that it costed Henry more to drive there and deal with it than the lambs could ever return to him. And it made me think of myself. Why did God see any value in me? You know, I think of David writing in the Psalms. He said that I am a worm and no man. You know, all I can say is that I am so thankful that the Lord Jesus took my sin and bore it on Calvary's cross so that I could have a relationship with him and come into relationship with his Father, God. Because had he not, I never could have made the decision to do it on my own. I never could have got across that great gulf or that deep chasm to God. I was hopeless. And so are all of us. And so that is why, children, we have to ask the Lord Jesus to come into our heart and to wash our sins away. Because we can't do it on our own. And if we don't, we are doomed to a lost eternity, like the rich man that we already talked about. Now, I want to read one more verse before we close. It's in Psalm chapter 40. And let's read verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And that is why, children, in a few minutes we're going to sit down for another meeting. Because those of us that are saved, he's brought us up out of a horrible pit. And we want to worship him for who he is, and we want to praise him for what he has done for us. Okay, we have just a little bit of time. Does anybody have a song that we could close with? Okay, what's your song?
Number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior. Thank you. Savior for me. Just as I was, he received me, seeking from judgment to flee. Now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me.
Show this picture one more time, because I want to tell you that in this picture, Olympio is being told the gospel by a man who knows his language. And so if you think of it, you may pray for Olympio, because he was given a Bible also. Okay, let's close with prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we come before you especially on behalf of these children. Lord Jesus, I just ask that not one of these children would leave their seat now without having asked you into their heart and asked you to wash their sins away in your precious blood. So we leave ourselves in your hands for the rest of this day, praying in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.